Good afternoon, 4:30 and 62 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
You have the highest rate of cancer deaths and the highest rate of preventable hospitalizations in the nation. And then there's also a high prevalence of smoking.
Another bad report card for Kentucky after the United Health Foundation releases its annual study on the nation's health. A Cincinnati man falls to his death at the Red River Gorge Sunday, and a multi-million-dollar renovation of Fleming County High School is set to begin in March. In sports, Pete Rose loses his bid to be considered for baseball's Hall of Fame. Bud Luke has the Stocks. Cloudy tonight with a chance of showers, low in the 40s. The complete forecast is coming up. First, this news. The hiker who fell to his death Sunday in the Red River Gorge has been identified as a 28-year-old man from Cincinnati. Authorities say Tim Amiot toppled off Chimney Top Rock around 10 a.m. after he leaped across the safety railing and lost his balance. David Pfeiffer serves on the Wolf County Search and Rescue Squad. He spoke with WLEX.
He was reported to be with friends who said that he crossed the barrier and then lost his footing, tried to prevent himself from falling by grabbing onto a scrub tree growing out of the rock, and then disappeared into the crevice for which Chimney Top is famous.
Pfeiffer says Amiot fell about 200 feet and was dead at the scene. Officials say it's the third fatality at Chimney Top Rock this year. A 59-year-old Grayson woman is charged with a criminal count of child abuse after she allegedly slammed an 11-month-old baby's head onto the floor. Boyd County deputies say the incident was recorded on video after a secret camera was installed in the home where Terry Huffine was babysitting. Deputy Philip Piercy says the infant's parents had suspicions about the woman who had been caring for their child since August. He tells WSAZ they were stunned when they saw the recording.
The mother is just heartbroken. They're devastated. They trusted this lady and brought her into their home.
Police say the baby was not seriously hurt. Huffine is being held in the Boyd County Detention Center on $25,000 bond. Two Floyd County men are charged with manufacturing methamphetamine after their car was stopped Saturday night in the Allen community. WSAZ is reporting that sheriff's deputies allege that Benjamin Davis and Charles Hall, both 32 years old, had a meth lab in the vehicle. They claim byproducts from the making of crystal meth were discovered inside the car, and there appeared to be vapors coming from a garbage bag in the rear of the vehicle. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in favor of Kentucky officials seeking to reinstate the death sentence of a man convicted in the 1997 murders of a Louisville couple. The justices today ruled that a federal appeals court was wrong to overturn Roger Wheeler's sentence based on the exclusion of a juror who expressed reservations about the death penalty. The 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals threw out the sentence after ruling the juror should not have been dismissed. The 2-1 ruling said the juror eventually said he could consider the full range of punishment. Kentucky officials argued the juror did not say that he could never consider the death penalty. WYMT is reporting that a student at the Louisa Middle School will likely be charged in juvenile court after a threatening message was left on a restroom wall Friday. The message was discovered around 3 p.m., and the school was evacuated for a brief time. Louisa Police and the Lawrence County Sheriff's Office reportedly identified the student who left the message following a joint investigation. Kentucky Public Advocate Ed Monahan says the corrections reform legislation approved by the General Assembly in 2011 has saved the Commonwealth millions of dollars. However, he says Kentucky could save even more money if it stopped jailing people for low-level misdemeanor offenses. Monahan says research shows that locking people up for 2 or 3 days for minor nonviolent offenses makes it more likely those same people will engage in future criminal activity. He appeared on CN2's Pure Politics.
So if we go out here on the street and stop a taxpayer and say, listen how we're using your money. We're arresting low-risk people for it and putting them in jail for a couple of days, and guess what return you get on that investment? More crime. They would look at us and say, well, gee, that's a stupid way to use my tax dollars. Yet that's what we're doing.
Monahan says he'll recommend during the 2016 legislative session that some misdemeanor offenses be reclassified as simple violations that don't involve jail time. Kentucky remains one of the nation's most unhealthy states. That's according to a new report from the United Health Foundation, which compiles an annual study called America's Health Rankings. Dr. Rhonda Randall is senior medical advisor for the UHF. She says Kentucky now stands 44th in overall health. It was 47th a year ago. She says the Commonwealth's biggest problems are its high rates of cancer, preventable hospitalizations, and smoking. Dr. Randall is quick to point out, however, there are some areas of the study where Kentucky actually looks pretty good.
Kentucky's done very well with low violent crime rate. You're ranked fifth in the nation in that measure. A low prevalence of excessive drinking. So despite that delicious bourbon, you're ranked sixth in the nation for excessive drinking. That means that people are smart and they're making good decisions about when to stop. A high rate of high school graduation. You're ranked 12th in the nation there. And we know that measure is particularly important.
Randall says the foundation's review examines 34 different measures. As Governor Matt Bevin mulls changes to the state's Medicaid expansion, a small group of Kentucky lawmakers are also investigating tweaks and alternate models. As Josh James reports, Senator Julie Rocky Adams was on hand at the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce's annual legislative preview conference in Lexington today to discuss the early signals coming from the General Assembly.
When asked what might be in store for Kentuckians who signed up under the expanded taxpayer-funded health insurance offered under the Affordable Care Act, the most frequently referenced state is Indiana. But Rocky Adams cautioned that nothing is written in stone.
It's not hard and fast. I don't think that he's going to go ahead with the Indiana model, but I think he wants to extract certain portions of the Indiana model which are working for that state.
Instituting an Indiana-like model would require a lengthy application process with the federal government. If enacted, the incentive-based system could see Medicaid recipients, especially single working adults without children, paying into health savings accounts or supplying copays. Advocates argue the change trims costs for the state while getting recipients more invested in their own care. Rocky Adams says left unchanged, Kentucky would need another 2.5 million taxpayers to fund the health care expansion implemented under the last administration. Former Governor Steve Beshear maintained that the expansion would pay for itself over the long haul through job creation and a healthier population. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Former First Lady Jane Beshear says one of the initiatives of which she is most proud during her 8 years in Frankfort is the public-private partnership she created to raise awareness about breast cancer and the importance of early detection. Mrs. Beshear talked about the initiative on KET's Connections with Renee Shaw. She says the joint effort with the Brown Cancer Center, Kentucky One Health, the University of Louisville, and the Kentucky Cancer Program raised $1 million for a mobile van
that will tour the state into underserved areas. And this will actually educate and screen for 7 kinds of cancers, not just breast cancer, but cervical cancer and skin cancer and head and neck and prostate cancer and colon cancer and lung cancer.
Mrs. Beshear says the program was established in 2008. In addition to screenings, she says the mobile van directs patients to local resources for care and support. A generally warm fall season is helping construction crews make major progress on $46 million worth of projects on the Morehead State campus. MSU President Wayne Andrews says workers are in the process of building a 550-bed residence hall as well as a combination parking garage dining facility.
Residence hall will be open for fall of 16. The parking garage will be open in the spring of 16, and the dining commons will follow probably a little later, by January of 17, it looks like. So those two are coming along well.
Ground was broken last spring for those two projects. Morehead State will use institutional bonds to pay for both of them. The new three-deck parking garage will include spots for about 400 vehicles. Work on a $22 million renovation project at Fleming County High School is scheduled to begin in March. According to Principal Stephanie Emmons, some of the improvements will involve the school's industrial and technical facilities, its kitchen, cafeteria, and gymnasium. The building will also receive an overhaul of its technology. Emmons says the work will be done one piece at a time in order to avoid classroom disruptions.
We're in the initial phases. It's just now been passed through the Kentucky Department of Education and our local board office. But what we will be doing is sitting down with our construction manager and phasing that out to where it will have the least amount of impact as possible on the learning environment that is currently in place.
The state is providing the Fleming District with $15 million for the project, which is expected to take about 24 months to complete. Kentucky Congressman Hal Rogers is expressing optimism that the House and Senate can reach agreement on a long-term spending bill by Wednesday. That's when the temporary resolution the House approved Friday expires. Rogers is a Pulaski County Republican who chairs the House Appropriations Committee.
I believe we're making good progress on a final full-year appropriations package. While I had hoped that we would be done by this point, there are still many moving pieces. It's my hope and expectation that the final omnibus legislation will be completed by this new deadline.
Rogers says he's no fan of continuing resolutions. He says they tend to be wasteful and inefficient. However, he recommended passage of this stopgap measure last Friday so that talks on a year-long deal could continue. The city of Ashland and Boyd County have held two joint meetings over the past month to discuss mutual problems and ways they can work together. However, Ashland Mayor Chuck Charles says they haven't necessarily done so to identify ways to combine services and save money.
For example, like purchasing salt, yeah, we could probably purchase salt a little bit. The more you buy in bulk, the better you receive. But, you know, thinking about some of the services, I'm very leery about actually double-dipping on our citizens. You know, we're in Boyd County, so we're already, our citizens pay Boyd County taxes.
Charles says the two governments really don't need to have formal meetings in order to work in concert. He says city and county officials interact in less formal ways almost every day. And finally this afternoon, a good way to help a community's economy and offer unique gifts to loved ones and friends during the holidays is by shopping at its locally owned downtown businesses. And not surprisingly, Ashland in Motion director Whitney Lowe would like to see more people do that in Ashland. She says it has a bevy of specialty shops and restaurants that sell things you can't find anywhere else.
We have some fantastic retailers who are all locally owned and really making an impact on downtown. And it goes beyond the arcade. We have several downtown retailers who are just fantastic and are really, I really think downtown is on an upswing, and it's because of these retailers and the new restaurants.
Lowe says Ashland's downtown merchants have been pretty busy since Thanksgiving, and she's anticipating a lot more commerce before Christmas. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy and windy with gusts up to 25 miles per hour, a 20% chance of showers, lows in the mid-40s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy, highs in the mid-50s. Tuesday night, mostly clear, lows around 40. Wednesday, sunny, highs in the mid-60s, and Wednesday evening, cloudy, a chance of showers early in the evening, then showers likely late, lows in the upper 40s. The chance of rain is 70%. Around the region, it is 65 degrees in Ashland, 59 in Flemingsburg, 64 in Inez, 58 in Lexington, 60 in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 62 degrees. 4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and it is good to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, Kentucky has been deemed the fifth least generous state in the U.S., according to a study done by Wallet Hub. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has that story.
Out of the 50 states, Kentucky coming in at 46th.
That was Jill Gonzalez. She's an analyst for Wallet Hub, a personal finance website geared towards helping consumers make wise choices when it comes to their finances. According to the organization, December is when a third of the nation's volunteering and donating takes place. So far, the United States ranks second in those categories in this year's World Giving Index. In an effort to inspire more giving this season, members of Wallet Hub conducted a study to rank the 50 states. This ranking system was designed by measuring several different elements.
We analyzed 8 different metrics here. So we're looking at everything from the volunteer rate, to the people who donated time, also the people who donated money, the growth in charitable giving over the last 5 years or so, to the number of public charities to give to per capita.
Breaking down those metrics, Kentucky ranked 37th for its volunteer rate, 44th when it came to people donating money to charities, and was in 46th place in the number of volunteer hours per capita. The Commonwealth also sits in last place for people who claim they donated their time. When it comes to the reasons why Kentucky is so low on the list, Gonzalez rules out poverty as a factor, saying that poorer states actually ranked in the upper half of the study.
States in the top 10 are Tennessee, Georgia, Oklahoma. In the bottom 10, we have Kentucky, but we also have states like New York and California. So I don't think it exactly has to do with poverty.
The United States Census Bureau ranks Kentucky 39th when it comes to poverty, with Tennessee at 40th, New York at 38th, and California at 35th. So what did land the bluegrass state so low on this list? Gonzalez says it's simple, a lack of places to give.
Kentucky was also in the bottom 10 when it came to the number of public charities per population there, and that includes churches or other religious-affiliated organizations, colleges, universities who have charitable parts to them, also medical research organizations.
With more local options to give to, Wallet Hub sees states climbing up the giving ladder.
And what we see in other states that have more local charities around is that people really tend to both give time and money there because they can actually see the direct effect that has on their local community.
The most giving state in the study is Utah, and bringing up the rear is Rhode Island. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jordan Simonson.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Mike has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry created by artisans from across America and natural pieces found all over the world. Eat Gallery offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, pocket knives, rings, and necklaces. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Rose finds his fate. Good afternoon, I'm MSPR's Michael Gustin with the sports report. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred has made his decision on whether to reinstate Pete Rose into Major League Baseball. Jack Bridges has the coverage.
Pete Rose has been rejected in his bid to get back into baseball. In a lengthy statement, Commissioner Rob Manfred said he had his office conduct a thorough investigation of Rose and the circumstances that led to him being banned from the game for gambling. The commissioner said he doubts that Rose, to this day, really understands the scope of his violations. As far as Rose ever getting into the Hall of Fame, the commissioner said his ruling has no bearing on that question. Manfred's ruling means Rose cannot be involved in Major League or Minor League Baseball. This is Jack Briggs.
The Chicago Cubs and pitcher Trevor Cahill agreed to a $4.25 million one-year contract today. The 27-year-old right-hander went 1-0 with a 2.12 ERA and 11 relief appearances with the Cub last season after signing a minor league deal on August the 18th and having his contract selected on September the 1st. A pair of 5-7 teams meet in South Florida in Monday Night Football. MSPR's Chuck Meraz reports.
The only difference is while Miami is out of the AFC playoff picture, the visiting New York Giants can still win the NFC East title. A victory tonight over the Dolphins will move the G-men into a first-place tie in the division with Philadelphia and Washington. New York will try to avoid the type of fourth-quarter collapses that costed its last two games. In those outings, Eli Manning threw for three touchdowns but was intercepted four times. Miami interim coach Dan Campbell wants the Fish to run the ball, so look for Lamar Miller to get plenty of carries. He had 113 yards rushing last week against Baltimore. For MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Meraz.
It was a tough loss Sunday for the Cincinnati Bengals, but the team received good news this afternoon on quarterback Andy Dalton. Dalton left yesterday's 33-20 loss in the first quarter with a thumb injury. Today, though, head coach Marvin Lewis said Dalton could possibly be healed and play in the Week 17 finale against Baltimore. In the meantime, the Bengals will have to go with second-year Alabama star A.J. McCarron under center.
He's got to lead us for however long. And, I'm glad we got him. And this is why we have him. This is why we drafted him. This is why we picked him. And this is why we've had him here. And for times like today, we've been so fortunate with Andy that, you know, this is the first time he's missed time since he was a rookie and since his first game. So, and I just knock on wood all the time every time someone says that. And now we're going to play a game without Andy.
With Dalton going down in the first quarter yesterday, McCarron came in to throw for 280 yards and two touchdowns. However, he also was intercepted twice. The Morehead State women's basketball team dropped a game on their home court this afternoon, 86-72 to USC Upstate. Morehead State had a 64-59 lead with just about 7 minutes left, but Upstate countered with an 18-2 run to secure the win. Here's MSU coach Greg Todd on the defeat.
We knew this could be a tough matchup with their athleticism, and they extended us, and we'll definitely have to get better at it. Part of the reason we played fast is hopefully we don't see as much pressure, but their pressure was able to keep us contained today. We definitely made way too many turnovers.
The Eagles are now 4-7 on the season. The Brown County girls basketball team plays on the road tonight. The 2-1 Lady Vikings visit Bath County. As the season rolls on, Rowan coach Elaine Douglas says Rowan needs to get a lot better at the free throw line, where they are shooting just 40% thus far.
Well, we work on them every day, but it's just something that we really need to work on because when it comes down to really tough games, free throws and layups, you're going to win ball games, and so we have to improve our free throw percentage.
Bath County is 2-3 this season. There was a bright spot in the Morehead State men's basketball team's loss to Pittsburgh Sunday, 72-62. After struggling through the early part of the season and going scoreless just over a week ago at Indiana, senior guard Brent Arrington led MSU with 13 points against Pitt. Arrington is still trying to bounce back after having off-season knee surgery, but he says the knee is starting to feel much better.
I'm happy. I think I should be able to help my team out a lot more now, at least emotionally and everything, because I'm not in my own head. Like, your body's hurt, man. So now I can stop worrying about myself and worry about my team now.
5-3 MSU plays at Eastern Washington on Thursday as the Gotham Classic continues. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari continues to call his team a work in progress. Up by one at the half Saturday against Arizona State at Rupp Arena, the Wildcats improved to 9-1 by pulling away for a 72-58 win. Calipari says the difference was UK's three-point shooting after going just 1-for-11 outside the arc in the first 20 minutes. The Cats hit 5 of their 10 long-range shots in the second half.
I want Jamal and Tyler prepared to shoot a three every single time. And if they crowd you, then you got to drive it. If they don't crowd you, then you're looking to shoot.
Euless and Murray each knocked down 2 triples in the win. The Cats host Ohio State on Saturday. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball hosts Kennesaw State at noon Saturday, and men's basketball hosts Western Carolina at 4 p.m. Sunday. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher, helped by a pause in the oil price slide amid continued concerns about the high-yield debt market. Investors also awaited the Federal Reserve's rates decision due this week after their meeting concludes on Wednesday. The Dow Jones earlier, or I should say by the close, the Dow was up over 100 points after earlier falling more than 100 points. Together, Chevron and ExxonMobil contributed the most to gains in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, while Boeing and DuPont were the weakest performers among those particular stocks in the Dow Jones Average. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 103.29 at 17,368.5. The S&P 500 was up 9.57 at 2,021.94, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 18.76 at 4,952.23. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 23-8 in favor of winning stocks over losers. U.S. crude oil did settle up 69 cents, or almost 2% on the day, at $36.31 a barrel. This ended a six-day losing streak that took crude to its lowest levels in nearly 7 years. WTI turned higher in intraday trade after earlier falling to $34.53 a barrel. And many analysts feel that oil might have bottomed with today's action, as you had actually what they called exhaustive selling this morning. Materials briefly traded 2% lower. They were the greatest decliner among S&P 500 sectors. Freeport-McMoRan, Dow, Newmont Mining, and DuPont were among the greatest decliners in the sector. And, of course, Dow and DuPont very much in the focus here as of late because of their merger creating a $130 billion chemicals company. The NASDAQ Composite was hurt today by a poor performance from Apple, as Apple was down amid news that the broker Morgan Stanley cut its estimate for 2016 iPhone units and earnings, and as well as earnings estimates, and the firm also cut its price target to $143 a share. In Europe, stocks ended sharply lower as low oil prices weighed, with the German DAX off nearly 2%. And in Asia, only the Shanghai Composite ended higher, as it was up about 2.5% after some encouraging reports on Chinese industrial production, retail sales, and fixed asset investment. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.64 at $102.92, AEP down a penny at $54.55, AK Steel down 6 cents at $2.14, Marathon Petroleum down $1.62 at $48, CSX down 42 cents at $25.30, and U.S. Bancorp is up 23 cents to finish at $42.45. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Innovation Network at MSU. The Innovation Network supports and promotes entrepreneurship by providing business consulting to entrepreneurs, small businesses, innovative nonprofits, and inventors. The network also works in Eastern Kentucky schools to teach entrepreneurship and promote the high-tech industries of the future, such as drones and space science. To learn how the Innovation Network helps the entrepreneurs of today while encouraging the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, the phone number is 606-783-9536.
And recapping the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, cloudy and windy with gusts up to 25 miles per hour, 20% chance of showers, lows in the mid-40s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy, highs in the mid-50s. Tuesday night, mostly clear, lows around 40 degrees. Around the region, it is 65 degrees in Ashland, 59 in Flemingsburg, 64 in Inez, 58 in Lexington, 60 in Winchester, and 62 in Moorhead. That's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Barraz, Tanner Boyd, Jordan Simonson, Sam Steyer, Michael Gustin, and Jacob Lindberg. From WUKY, Josh James. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.